Akshodhi Sri Vatsala Amrini Davaram Vatsa Itya Prisya. Ladies, days long ago, Pita, Father, Na, R, Bhagavan, the most opulent, Daksha, Daksha, Duhi Sri Vatsala, affectionate to his daughters, come unto whom? Rinita, you want to accept. Varam, your husband. Vatsala, Vatsa, all my children. Iti, thus. Aprichata, inquired. Na, us. Pritak, separately. Translation and purpose by Srila Prabhupada. And days long ago, our father, the most opulent Daksha, was affectionate to his daughters, asked each of us separately whom we would prefer to select as our husband. Purport. It appears from this verse that free selection of a husband was allowed by the father, but not by free association. The daughters were asked separately to submit their selection of a husband who was famous for his acts and personality. The ultimate selection depended on the choice of the father. Sa viditvat majanam sa viditvat majanam no bhavan sanatana bhavana rayodashadadat tasam yaste shilam anuvrata. Our well-wishing father Daksha, after knowing our intentions, handed over 13 of his daughters unto you, and since then we have all been faithful. Purport. Generally the daughters were too shy to express their opinions before their father, but the father would accept the daughter's intentions through someone else, such as a grandmother to whom the grandchildren had free access. King Daksha collected the opinions of his daughters and thus handed over 13 to Kasyapa. Every one of Diti's sisters was the mother of children. Therefore, since she was equally faithful to the same husband, why should she remain without children? Text 15. Ata me kuru kalyanam kamam kalama kamalak lochana arto pasarpanam bhuman amogam himahi yasi. O Lotus Eyed One, kindly bless me by fulfilling my desire. When someone in distress approaches a great person, his pleas should never go in vain. Purport. Diti knew well that her request might be rejected because of the untimely situation, but she pleaded that when there was an emergency or a distressful condition, there is no consideration of time or situation. Iti tam vira maricha kripanam bahu basinim pratyahanu nayan vacha praridananga kashmalam. O hero Vidura Diti, being thus afflicted by the contamination of lust, and therefore poor and talkative, was pacified by the son of Marichi in suitable words. Purport. When a man or woman is afflicted by the lust of sex desire, it is to be understood as sinful contamination. Kashyapa was engaged in his spiritual activities, but he did not have sufficient strength to refuse his wife, who was thus afflicted. He could have refused her with strong words expressing impossibility, but he was not as spiritually strong as Vidura. Vidura is addressed here as a hero because no one is stronger in self-control than a devotee of the Lord. It appears that Kasyapa was already inclined to have sexual enjoyment with his wife, and because he was not a strong man, he tried to dissuade her only with pacifying words. Om Agnat Prandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutle Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Didati Svapadantikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Uttavar Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Stha Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Krishna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Sitamsta Hey Krishna Karna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Vrishivana Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sunivyevacha Patidanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitinanda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, he was asking Krishna that why is it that a person, he wants to act in a certain way, but sometimes he's forced, unwillingly. Ata keno priyuktayam papam charati purusha anicham anati vashneya mula iva niyojitaha. What is this force, this bala, this strength by which he's forced to act helplessly? So Krishna's answer was, Shri Bhagavan Vacha Kama Esha Krodha Esha Rajaguna Samudbhava Mahashina Mahapapa Vidyanam Iha Varinam. That man's greatest enemy in this material world is this uncontrolled energy called lust, which later, under the mode of ignorance, turns into anger or wrath. Actually, the soul, his original attitude is that of a service attitude towards Krishna. In the spiritual world, Krishna, everyone loves Krishna, especially in Vrindavan. There, the birds, the bees, the trees, the flowers, everyone is a devotee of Krishna. And Vrindavan means everyone has affection and love for Krishna. But the material world means that somehow or another, that original love that we have for Krishna is now misdirected simply towards Krishna's energies, principally his external energy, which is known as Maya. So this directing our service attitude, our loving propensity towards Maya or towards the external energy, this is called illusion. So under illusion, people are thinking, as it explains in the Ishupanishad, everyone is thinking that my dissatisfaction in this material world is caused by my incomplete life of sense enjoyment. Everyone is imagining that the reason why I don't feel completely happy is because there's some kind of sense enjoyment lacking. Of course, some people are on the gross level of sense enjoyment because Krishna says, in the Bhagavad Gita, Indriyani mano buddhir asti distinam uchate eteravi mahatya tyesham jnanam jnanam viganam nashim. That it is the senses, the mind, and the intelligence which are the sitting places of this lust, which veils the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders it. So we're all vimuda, we're bewildered on different levels. Some people are more bewildered on the gross platform. They simply see that by getting gross material things, big buildings, fast cars, many women, then I'll become happy, accumulate. And others, they are more subtle. They're after knowledge. They're after prestige. They're after some kind of subtle enjoyment. Of course, such people in Kali Yuga are rare. Most people are simply, they think that if I can get a good McDonald's hamburger, then my life is successful. They can simply eat. But beyond that, of course, is the intellectual platform where one is speculating, trying to understand reality through his own imperfect speculations. But one has to go beyond that to actually come to the real platform of life. But people don't know that. They don't know that the goal of human life is to increase one's real knowledge. Of course, people are becoming educated in these factories. I remember when Srila Prabhupada came to Buffalo as a student at the university in 1969 when he came. And he asked me, he said, "Well, so how do you like the university?" I said, "Oh, it's nice." He was asking me what I was doing. But then when he talked to Rupa Nugapuru afterwards, he said, "This place is a slaughterhouse, this university." So modern education means to take an innocent person, or not so innocent person nowadays, and to slaughter them. It means that everyone is born Shudra, and by education, modern education, one gradually becomes less than an animal. That if one is saved from the educational modern education, then at least he remains a Shudra. And if somehow or another he gets a good education, then they call him a Vaishya. If he learns how to cheat and steal from people, then he's a good businessman. Otherwise, if he's the person who's being cheated, if he hasn't had sufficient education, then he's called a Shudra. And beyond that, there are animals. Two-legged, four-legged, whatever. And there are good animals. Srila Prabhupada said in the forest, there are so many deer, there are so many tigers. So sometimes we read in the newspaper and we think, oh, this person is a tiger. He's a bad animal. Oh, but this person is a deer. Oh, he's very nice. How cute. But actually, they're nothing but animals. Therefore, it is suggested in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nivritti Tarsher Upagiyamanas Bhagavasya Jatstrotra Manovi Ramat Kautama Shloka Gunanavarda Pumandi Rajeta Vina Pashugna. That modern civilization means Pashugna. Everyone is more or less in animal consciousness. We're all in anxiety. What is that anxiety? Tomorrow will I get something to eat? This is modern civilization. No one's sure that tomorrow they'll get something to eat. So everyone is in anxiety. They have so many insurance plans. Perhaps I'll leave my body tomorrow, I'll be in a car crash. And my children, make sure they'll get something to eat. My wife will get something to eat. So I take out an insurance plan. But to pay for the insurance plan, I'm spending so much money, and I'm in anxiety that perhaps I'll be laid off and for my work, and then I won't be able to get something to eat. Or I won't be able to pay for my mortgage. The bank will take my house away, so I won't be able to sleep peacefully. Therefore, modern civilization means so much progress, say, in medicine. And what is the majority of all the medicine that is prescribed? They prescribe pills to go to sleep. Because people have so much anxiety to pay for their eating and sleeping, sex life defense, that they prescribe all kinds of pills to people so they can go to sleep. But because the pills are so powerful, people can't wake up in the morning. So then they have to prescribe another pill to wake up. And because they're taking all this powerful medicine, they can't eat food anymore. Therefore, they have another pill for digestion. But the pill for digestion causes ulcers, so they have to take medicine for ulcers. And because the medicine for the ulcers causes constipation, therefore, they have to take some laxative. And the laxative, it causes diarrhea, therefore, they have to take some kind of sedative. But because they're taking a sedative, therefore they become anxious, they actually develop their anxiety, so they have to take another sedative at night to sleep. And in this way, their pill taking is increasing. People are very proud. Sometimes they sell these boxes in stores with 20 different little cabinets, little spaces where you put your 20 different pills every day. So this is advancement in modern medicine. And after taking the pills for a few years, then the person develops some complicated cancer or heart disease, and then they can really give him some powerful medicine that completely wipes him out. but the insurance pays for it, so there's no problem. So modern civilization means two, people are thinking that somehow or another let me fulfill my unlimited desires. Achityama prayamcha pralayantam upashritya. They believe that to gratify these desires, that's the real purpose of human life. This is modern education. They don't know a Brahma Buddha Prasanatma. That when one comes to the spiritual platform, when one actually realizes that he's not this body, then he becomes jolly, joyful. Because after all, just like each one of us, we identify ourselves with this body. And each one of us, we're thinking that this body is very special. The way it looks, the way it talks, as we said yesterday, the way it smells, it's all very special. We think we have so many qualities. I'm so intelligent. I'm so learned. I know everything about the football or whatever else I know. And this, so everyone is proud. Everyone has a certain group, and in that group, whether they're collecting butterflies or shooting marbles, whatever. People are thinking that I'm something special in this group. I have some special ability. Indeed, they have groups where people collect comic books, and they're experts on comic books. And people feel proud. They get on television. This is modern civilization. Someone is a scholar in comic books, and they have interviews with him on television. They have his photograph. They write histories, his biography in these magazines. Why? Because he knows everything about Batman or Captain Kangaroo. So modern civilization means people are not prasanatma, they're simply fools. And the bigger fool a person is, the more he's generally glorified. Prahlad Maharaj uses the word vimuda. That indriyata vimudatma mityasya, that's a little different. He says atta naiva dvije paradratya vaitaranyas tvavire gayana mahamrita magnachita so jevi mukachetasa indriyarata mayasakayam udvaram vimura bharata vimura vimura. Mura means ass. So everyone's been trained up generally to be an ass, but this is special ass. Prahlad Maharaj says, he said he is vimura. Modern civilization means that people are building these huge skyscrapers, all this huge factories, roads, institutions. Put all the crazy people who are building the roads and maintaining all the working in the factories. But he says they're vimuda, which means that they're not ordinary asses, they're super asses. V means super. So they're super asses, working like dogs and hogs, simply to create a huge civilization where everyone is suffering. So this is just like the story that everyone has heard, how the Himalayan mountains, the story goes that the Himalayan mountains were about to give birth to a child. So Himalayan mountains are very big, and so they're rumbling and quaking, and there was all kinds of noise. So everyone gathered around, all the animals in the forest, all the people gathered around. What will the Himalayan mountains give birth to? Everyone was just wondering. The huge mountain. So it was quaking, there was a big earthquake, and everyone was shaking, and all of a sudden, it gave birth to a mouse. A little mouse right now. So similarly, human civilization, modern civilization, so much noise. Even William Shakespeare said the same thing. It's full of sound and fury, but it signifies nothing. People are rushing in the subways, rushing the buses, rushing down the street, rushing in the store, out of the store, in their office, out of their office. And what does it all signify? Nothing. Simply they're creating mouses out of people. Therefore, Brahma Buddha Prasaratma, if one can come to realize that he's a spiritual soul, he becomes joyful. But the only way of doing that is na shoshiti na kamshiti. All these unwanted desires in relationship to this body have to be given up. All my appreciation for this dead material body, which I'm identifying as myself, has to be given up. Appreciating this body means that I have so many desires to fulfill to gratify my senses. And because I cannot do that, therefore I become angry, I lament. So, lamenting over this body, having sympathy with this body, having sympathy with our subtle minds and so-called intelligence, this is all. Or, hankering, let me serve my body. Let me become a more faithful servant of my mind. Let me, whatever my mind says, let me surrender without any hesitation. Whatever my senses demand, let me spontaneously serve them. And don't think about it. So to become free from this, this means sarvak-sarve-samak-sarve-shubhuteshu. One is able to see all living entities on the same level of spiritual understanding. One is able to understand that I'm actually not something special, but one will be able to appreciate how special each living entity is. How each living entity is actually an eternal servant of Krishna. Everyone has their own special relationship with Krishna. Just as we appreciate sometimes reading the stories of the gopis dancing with Krishna or Mother Jasoda. Sometimes it's said that Nanda Maharaj, he has a little, on top of his house, he has a little lookout. So sometimes Nanda Maharaj, he climbs out to the lookout point when Krishna is about to come home, and he's looking to see Krishna, the dust that is raised by the calves and the cows and the cowherd boys. And very anxiously he's waiting because his love for Krishna is so great. And as soon as he sees the dust that is being raised by the calves and cows, he immediately cries out to Mother Jasoda that our dear lotus-eyed boy is coming back from the pasture and ground. So to hear about these great devotees, we can appreciate how much they love Krishna. But every living entity is originally a lover of Krishna. Every living entity has his own special relationship with Krishna. And in the spiritual world, everyone there is a devotee of the devotees of Krishna. So to develop that vision, samat sarveshu bhuteshu, not that 5 years ago or 10 days ago, this devotee did this to me, and I can't wait till I get some revenge. And even if I can't revenge myself against them for this terrible offense they committed against the great devotees, me, still, in the course of time, I know that the material energy will take care of them. So, as soon as I see the devotee, I think, oh, what a demon. He's insulted a great devotee, me. And what is this insult? He's hurt my body. He's offended my false ego. He's done something against what I think is myself. So, a self-realized soul, he realizes that everything is arranged by Krishna, that nothing is happening by accident. Krishna is giving me an opportunity to become free from my false ego by making so many different arrangements for me. Therefore, a devotee, he appreciates especially the devotees. Other devotees. Because he's not foolish, he doesn't think that he's responsible for everyone's activities, but he doesn't become angry. Vimanyava surida saravoye. Mahantaste samachitak samanta. Vimanyava surida saravoye. So he doesn't become upset when he's preaching, when he's engaged in his service to Krishna consciousness, because he sees everyone as Krishna's eternal servant. Such a person, he can actually think of Krishna with devotion. Not that we're fair weather friends. When everything goes nice, I like Krishna. And as soon as something goes wrong, then who is this Krishna? How dare he do this to me? Doesn't matter, he's God. What is the value of God if he can't make his devotees happy? If he can't make me happy? So a devotee, he's not attached to the happiness and distress of this material world. He doesn't become angry at the living entities who are causing him distress. or he doesn't become attached to living entities who are giving him some result, some material gain. Simply, he remains his attitude as being a servant of Krishna. Then, in such a state, one will not become disturbed by material lust or anger, greed, etc. Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha. The first problem in the material world is that everyone is full of prestige over this body. And as a result of that, we're bewildered. Because of our attachment to this body, because of our attachment to the sense objects that can satisfy this body, everyone is bewildered. Jita sanga dosha. And because of this bewilderment, we form different societies, families, clubs, nations, etc. Everyone who's after the same type of sense gratification, they form some club. They have the big meat eaters club, beef eaters club, at least I don't know about here, but in America they have the beef eaters club, stamp club, ski club, so many different types of clubs. They have the insect collecting club. So those who like the same type of sense gratification, they associate with each other and they enthuse each other to become more and more involved. I remember I was a captain of my chess team in school. So I used to play at the Manhattan Chess Club. So I thought, these are all the intellectuals. You know, I was proud, I was an intellectual, you know, good at chess. But then I went to the Manhattan Chess Club and I saw these people were just rogues, most of them. That if you were some of the champion chess players, if you were beating them at chess, they immediately light up a cigar. And they start smoking the cigar and blowing the smoke in your face. Because in this way, they figure they disturb your mind so much, you'd eventually quit, lose the game. So this is Tita Sangha Dosha, unwanted association. All these associations in the material world, outside the association of devotees, they're all unwanted. Adhyatma Nitya. When one gives up these faulty associations, then he can begin to understand that he's spiritual. As long as I want to identify myself, well, I'm British, so we're very polite. Although, secretly, privately, we do all kinds of sinful activities. But in the street, we're very polite. Or Americans. Americans, they think, oh, we're very honest. We let it all hang out. We don't try to fool anyone. We're just as gross as any animal in the street, any dog in the street. And everyone is thinking like that. That they're very proud. Everyone is proud. The pauper is proud of his penny in the safe. So one who can give up this faulty identification, thinking that I'm something special because I have this body and I'm able to associate with so many special people. Then he can understand the eternal. What is eternal? Adhyatma Nitya Vinavritta Kama. And when he understands the eternal, when he becomes convinced that he's not this body, then he can actually begin to seriously reject material lust, subtle and gross. Vinavritta Kama Dvanvar Vimukta. And one who gives up lust, one's not disturbed by it or its corollaries, then he can remain neutral in terms of happiness and distress. Then he's not a fool anymore. And he actually can go back to the spiritual world. So we shouldn't give up our real knowledge. We shouldn't become servants of the senses. We should be, as it says here, we should remain strong. Evam bhude puram bhudva. By spiritual strength, by the conviction that I am actually Krishna's servant, that I am actually the servant of the devotees. Actually, without becoming a servant of the devotees, there is no question of becoming Krishna's servant. Just like if I have a hand, the famous example is there. Sometimes people like to take a hand and take the eggs from the hen. But people think, why am I spending so much time feeding this hen? Better to cut the part off that eats and simply keep the part that's giving the egg. Similarly, one who thinks that I'll be able to understand the science of Krishna consciousness and go back to Godhead without serving the devotees, it is the same principle. That I don't want to render service to the devotees, but I want to get Krishna. That is not possible. Only through service to the devotees, Shu Shu Sho Shadadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sianmasa Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirtani Shevana. Only by service to devotees one will gain the affinity for hearing the message of Vasudeva. Then unless I serve the devotees, then how am I going to think myself to be their servant? And unless I feel myself their servant, how will I be able to hear from them submissively? And if I don't hear from them submissively, how am I going to understand the science of Krishna consciousness? And if I don't understand the science, how am I going to know what to do to become Krishna conscious? I won't know what to do. Therefore, without serving the devotees, there's no question of hearing from them. Without hearing from them, there's no question of learning the science. And without learning the science, we won't know what to do to realize it. And therefore, there's no progress. So without serving the devotees, there's absolutely no progress in Krishna consciousness. It is simply a mental concoction. It is simply a dream that I'm making progress and at the same time offending the devotees. Yes, I'm making progress. I'm making progress out the door. But that sort of progress we shouldn't make. Therefore, one should control his mind and senses, utilize them in service to Krishna, principally his devotees, the instructions of his devotees, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And in this way make progress towards actually becoming strong, being able to conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust, by utilizing our senses, mind, intelligence in Krishna's service. Then, even some beautiful woman or some beautiful man is attracting to us, we can remain steadfast in Krishna consciousness and not become completely bewildered. Yes, maybe it would be nice to pretend at least that I was this body for a while, or this mind. Let's see what happens. No, one should remain steadfast in the conviction that there's no other happiness in this material world other than Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's no other impediment greater in this material world to advance in a Krishna consciousness than to think that there's something more satisfying than serving Krishna. So, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Yeah. Modern civilization people means people who eat anything at any time. It doesn't matter what it is. I think as we said before, it's probably, they have this Guinness Book of Records down. So they have one record, a person has a record for eating snails. You know about that. He ate 180 snails in 3 minutes. And no one has ever tried to break his record. Because right after that he died from indigestion. And one person in the Guinness Book of Records, he has the world's record for eating a bicycle. He ground the bicycle up into little bits and then he ate a little bit every day. And he took the tires and he boiled them. And he put them in between the sandwich. It was a little chewy, but he got used to it. And he promised, he said that if anyone gives him $10,000, because the price may have gone up, he'd eat a car. So these are the people who are glorified. So, needless to say, some little boy will read this book and think, well, if he can eat a car, I can eat a tank. Get my friends together, we'll devour a tank. So this is modern civilization. People are becoming less than animals. Actually, animals would be embarrassed to associate with many people nowadays. They'd be afraid for their reputation. So Krishna consciousness means that we're trying to give people good association. And of course, the best association is Srila Prabhupada's books. The transcendental knowledge that's in Srila Prabhupada's books is actually the only way that this present civilization can be saved. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada is stressing so much in this book distribution. We ourselves, we may have some of the same problems that that people in the street have. We may have the same tendency and the same desires. But by our engaging the service of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, then Krishna becomes very pleased with us. And if people get these books, if they're fortunate enough to give some contribution, and if they even are more fortunate to be able to read something, then there's some progress in Krishna consciousness. Then there's some meaning to what their life, the human form of life. Other than that, outside of these books of Srila Prabhupada, outside of the practical service that's outlined in these books, people have no chance. Their activities are all sinful nowadays. Practically speaking, there's no pious activity. Even in so-called religious societies, even the heads of the religion, they're killing animals, eating meat, they're getting intoxicated, they're actually engaged in illicit sex life. These are the heads of the institution. What to speak of their followers? And their philosophy is, yes, after it's all done, then you take your Jesus Christ credit card and you charge it all to him. All the sinful activities, he's already agreed to take the reaction, so give it all to him. And if they... So this is all nonsense, of course. We shouldn't... There are some good points in religion, in modern religion, there's some few good points that are left over from the past. But generally speaking, in this age, there's no religion. There's absolutely no liberation. There's only sense gratification. So the only truth is really found in Srila Prabhupada's books. So we should distribute them and we should read them ourselves. This way our life will become successful. Thank you very much.